could you describe it a little bit, Timble? You played with him for a while. What kind of person was he? Can you describe a little bit the person and the musician?
Oh, it's a difficult, difficult question at the beginning. I think Timble was an extraordinary person. But I think he was an honest person, always an honest person. I think that's the main point. And he had this problem, you know, with drugs in general, alcohol and so on. He was an alcoholic at the end of the Bates times. But he was, I think you call it, introverted.
Introverted.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that he was standing away from other persons and didn't have contact with them. It's the opposite. But sometimes you didn't know how to handle him. Was a little difficult.
But how did you as a band react to him when you found out that he really has a serious problem? Because like what I read a little bit about the Bates also was at the end that you guys had a huge problem with his like alcohol abuse. So how did you react? Did you try to help him out? And how was the whole situation there?
Yes, it didn't come from yesterday to now. The problem was. He was always drinking, and we didn't recognize or realize that he was doing it because he had a problem with this. And when we became more famous, it was in 1995 around this when Billie Jean came out and we had our biggest tour. Then he tried to compensate his problems with by taking more drugs. More drugs, which he could not handle, and additionally, alcohol. There was the alcohol additionally, and this was the problem. I think the mixture of all the things. There was a time when he was only able to play gigs when he had his coca line before the gig, and then a lot of alcohol, and he tried to control his body with drugs and alcohol. If he in the first grade he was addicted to alcohol, but he tried to control this because when he was tired because of drinking too much alcohol, a normal person lays his head and sleeps for a little bit. But he took then, for example, amphetamine or something like this, mm-hmm. and to control his body. And this was the serious problem. And after this tour in 1995, I guess, it was 1996, around this time, when he came back from this tour, he could not control himself. He was always able to control himself when he was drinking a lot, even if it was harder alcohol like whiskey or I don't know, something like this. Understand what I mean?
Yeah. But how did you guys react to this? Because like you were on the peak point there with like the Billie Jean tour, for example, and like you see somebody that like the person in the band totally destroying itself and also destroying the band in some ways.
Yeah, there was a split of a year where the band didn't play concerts, and we were talking to him all the time, and but it's always the same problem with every person who's addicted to anything. The person has to do it on himself, or him or herself, and if the person doesn't do this way, then it will not work. You see, and we try to persuade him to not to take so many drugs and to stop drinking, and he tried so as well because he was afraid of the fact that the band could split up, and what happened a couple of years later on, and then he was he was in hospital, in a special hospital, to get rid of his problem. But it was only to I don't know the word for Entgiftung.
Detoxication,
yeah. Something like this. Yeah, he was there in the hospital for detoxification. But after this, he started again, and then we had to play. We actually had no chance to react like we had to do, because I don't know. The person has to do it on his own. You see what I mean?
So, what are your best memories of playing in the Bates?
Oh, a lot
of fun. With him also, like, is it like, what are your fond memories of him and also in the Bates in the band?
The best memories he had was the uncountable tours we were, or the uncountable gigs we were playing. I wrote my exam paper, my final exam paper. I wrote about. One part was about the Bates, and I counted all the gigs we played together in the first time before we got famous, and it was around 300 or 400 gigs before we got famous, and we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of stress as well, but we had a lot of fun. I don't know. It's with every band, you know. We were a punk rock band, and yes, I don't know.
So after the end of the Bates, did you guys stay in contact with each other, or did it like spread out in all directions?
For the first time, we had contact. We had still contact, and still I have contact with the other members. Especially when we planned this tribute thing, you know, tribute thingy. I think you say thingy, isn't it? I was at Klube. Klube is our drummer, or was our drummer. I was at Klube's wedding, for example, and I didn't have so much contact with Armin, who was the former guitarist in the band before me. Now he's a priest, and Pogo. I didn't see Pogo for a long time. It was the other guitarist with me for the first time of the Bates, for the first or the main part, the main time of the Bates. I didn't stay in contact because he was it was the longest distance for me to go. He was living in Hamburg. He had a family then and a couple of children, and Dully. Dully was the guitarist who came for Pogo. I see him sometimes here in the pubs. We have some pubs where you can listen to punk rock music and stuff like this, and there you find Dully always, all the time. Yes, there's all the members. These are all the members.
So how did you first hear about Cymbal's death?
Oh yes, I was working abroad. In England, and I was still working. It was evening. I was still working, and there came a person from the staff, a friend of mine, and he said to me, "Come on, I have to tell you something." Because he received the telephone call from my girlfriend, who tried to get anybody on the telephone. And it was not me, it was the other person. And he came to me and took me to a room and said, "It's not a good message I have to tell you now. Your friend died." And first time I was totally shocked, because I could not believe that the situation was so strange. But the second day, I said to myself, and it was, through all the years, it was inevitable that it would happen any time, and so I think the process of let him go was a couple of years before when we split up, I guess. Because then, yeah, we lost the contact a little bit more, and you knew it was now his life. He was not his life was not involved in my life. You know what I mean? And that was, I think, the point when I let him go. You know what I mean?
It seems like, looking back, the band broke up very suddenly, like your planned tour was cancelled. Could you describe a little bit the situation when you finally all came together to this idea and to split the band, to end the whole thing?
Yes, well, there was were some economic problems. For example, the sellings, is it sellings?
The sales.
The sales, yeah, okay, I think. The sales became worse from album to album, and this was one thing. And then we started as a punk rock band, new punk rock band. And then a couple of years later, there were a lot of other bands, like for example Green Day, or and the business always changing, you know, and that was the problem. The fact that Cymbal's alcohol and drug problems got worse from tour to tour, from one tour to the next tour, and it was not only Cymbal which led us to our decision. I think it was a chain of many, many decisions that we said, let's split up the band. We had at the end it was very stressful for us to go on tour. But it's with all bands. But the problem was, for example, if you see the Stones or something, some band like these, or for example, comes to my mind, I don't know, bands who split up and come together again, a revival. These bands are physically, the members in the bands are not physically damaged like Cymbal, for example. And that was the problem, that we had no chance to go on stage again, I guess.
So did you stay in contact with him after the split, or was it all like dissolved?
Yeah, don't get it wrong, but I tried to avoid it, because all the time when you met him, all the time when you, maybe on accident or on purpose, then it was like a déjà vu, the same feelings I had shortly after the split up of the band. And so I tried to avoid it, because, to be honest, I could not cope with the situation, seeing him, his problem getting worse and worse, and he was fading away, I guess, and you could see it. The last, for example, when I wrote my final exam paper about the Bates, I needed a person. And it was Cymbal, who could tell me anything about the time before me, because I was not a founding member of the band, you know. And I had an interview with him, and it was a good interview. It was, I think, about 1 or 1.5 hours to talk with him, and then he was totally fucked. He said, "Oh, I shouldn't have taken this volume." Valium, is it Valium? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These downers here, and we have to stop it here now. And then it was a kind of déjà vu again, you know. And it was, what's the word? What is Schmerz?
A pain.
Ah, yes. Okay. easiest words don't come to my mind. Yeah, it was very painful to see him, painful all the time when you saw him. I think the last time I actually saw him, it was friends of mine. I don't know if you know the Toy Dolls, British punk rock band.
Yeah.
Friends of mine were playing in Frankfurt, and we were driving there, and Symbol was the support act of the Toy Dolls. He was playing guitar on his own, only he and his guitar. And then after the gig, I went to the backstage room, and Symbol came to me and went away. And it seemed to me that he didn't have seen me. He didn't have seen me. But he had to, because he came in my direction, actually. But he was, I think, he was above, high above the ground. It was Warren Bates' song, I think, and this was the situation at this moment. And so it was hard to stay in contact.
On June 18th, 2006, Markus Zimmelzimmer died. Shortly afterwards, a tribute sampler and a tribute concert were organized. Were these decided by you guys in the band, or did someone else come to you with this idea?
Yes, you can say a lot of people had the same idea. And this was like a committee. Is it committee? Committee.
What do you want to say?
That a lot of people come together to who have the same idea.
Yeah.
Committee. Yeah. It was, for example, there was one guy who has a sales order. Is it sales order?
Mail order.
Yes. Yeah. Mail order. In Germany, it's called Monaco, and he had the idea, but as well the other persons who were playing in the band before. Had the same idea. There had to be anything to remember Symbol all the time, and then we had the idea to record a sampler to bring together all the bands who were who had to do with the Bates before on one sampler. This was the first idea. And now it's a 3-CD sampler, because his two LPs he recorded on his own, or not on his own, but he was playing on his own, only he and his guitar. They didn't came out, actually. They were released on a label which is, anything than famous. And so there were sold 30 copies or so, 40 copies of each record, of both records. And we had the idea the best is to put anything on this album that remembers Symbol. And of course there were some not released Bates songs, live songs, which are on the third album, on the third CD. And
there are a lot of various bands on CD1 and of this 3-CD tribute sampler. Did all these bands just actually record these songs especially for this release, or were they already recorded before on some other albums from those bands?
To be honest, I cannot speak for all the bands, but I'm on the sampler with the band as well. It's the band Desert and Fortune, and we didn't record it especially for this sampler. I think most of the bands didn't do this. I think except one piece, one song, Precious in Your Eyes. It's an old song, and it was recorded by the former guitarist, the person who played in the band before me, and he's a priest, as I told you. And he thought it's a good idea to record, especially for Symbol. But I think most of the songs are not especially recorded for him, but the persons. I think it's more important that the persons who are on the sampler are all persons we knew with the Bates or Symbol knew on his own. And this is the main point, I think.
So all these recordings were done before the idea came up with this compilation. So all these songs on the sampler were already recorded before. They weren't just recorded for this tribute album.
As I told you, I cannot speak for the other bands,
okay.
But I think that the most bands didn't they took recordings they already recorded maybe a couple of years before, I don't know.
Okay.
But I think it's not especially recorded for the sampler. Okay. I think this is your question, isn't it?
Yeah. So you will be playing a concert on December 28th in Kassel with a lot of current bands where all your members
bands
are in there. So what are you guys trying to play also together as Bates, or kind of like a come together as former members of Bates, or are you just playing as within your new bands?
No. There will not be a kind of Bates revival without Symbol. I think it is not possible to go on stage for all the bands, for all the members, the former members of the Bates, without having Symbol as a frontman. Because if you're talking about Bates, you're talking about Symbol. Because he was his voice, for example, it was a very special voice. I think there will not. It was unique. I think there is no other voice that sounds like this. And maybe you can put another person or his aura. It was a very, as I told you, it was an extraordinary person. You should have seen him live to understand what I'm talking about. I think it's only the only possibility to play Symbol songs or even play Bates songs is to play it in your style, but I think not actually the Bates songs. There will no person who can interpret it.
These former members of the Bates, are they all doing some other musical projects, or is it just like you who is like playing with another band?
No, of course.
all
the bands are doing. It's not that all the bands are. All these bands are famous, and I think there was no band that became famous after the Bates. It's with most of the bands. Who were famous before, and then this solo projects don't become famous very often. Yes, Pogo is playing there with a band called Bunch of Rags. I think he's playing drums and singing, but I have no idea. I didn't see them before. I haven't listened to this music. Our band is playing Desert and Fortune, but unfortunately, 1.5 years ago, our singer split off the band, and then we had a new singer. It took a long time to find a new singer, and then a couple of weeks, the new singer told us that that is too stressful for him because he has to always to come to rehearsal. He has to drive 150 kilometers one way, and that's too much. On this concert, we're playing with a three-man combo, and I'm singing. I'm singing, playing the guitar, and there will be Klube with two bands. And then there will be Dulli with another band, The Float. Very good. Dulli was playing all the time 30 years with a couple of bands, and he was always a fan of heavy metal more than me. And but the Float is a kind of stoner rock, I think. And I think that's all the members. Did I left one out? No.
But it's good to know that all of you guys are still playing music. I mean, that's great to know, actually, to hear about it.
And even I had a project. I think it's not good to tell it, but I do it. I had a project do you know Julio Iglesias?
Yes, I do. Please don't tell me that. Please don't.
in a Julio Iglesias cover band.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I was playing the guitar. It was a totally new experience, because this Spanish stuff and this funky guitars, because playing with the Wawa and so on, it was an experience, to be honest. But it was only for a short time.
Did he dress like Julio Iglesias on stage too?
Yes, the singer we had, he's a native speaker in Spanish and a native speaker in Germany. He was born in Spain, and his parents taught him Spanish. But he was raised in Germany, and so he's both Spanish and German. And he does a very good job. So fantastic to see him. As you when you know him, you don't believe what he's doing on stage. But he's a good entertainer.
Mm-hmm. There was also like the work on a band biography about the Bates, and the working title was "Die ganze halbe Wahrheit," but it was never released. Why was that? And is something like this planned for the future?
When we planned this "Ganze halbe Wahrheit," a good friend, okay, it's exaggerated, a friend of us, was telling us or had the proposal to do this, and we said, that's a fantastic idea. But at the end, the end of the story was, he had the money for his Macintosh computer. And we had nothing except some typed interviews with us. And do you know this comic? We brought out this.
I think so. Yeah, I think I saw it one time. Yeah.
And this comic, it's called Punk. It came out. Is it comic?
Cartoons or something.
Cartoon. But it's not a movie. It's not a cartoon as a movie. It's
a comic book, actually. It's a comic
comic book. And a good friend of us, Klaus Kornfield, painted this. And this was, I would say it was a second attempt. It was not the thing that we wanted to do with the ganze halbe Wahrheit, but I think it was a second attempt to show our fans a little bit more of the Bates.
So this was Klaus Kornfield of Throw That Beat in the Garbage Can.
Yes, of course.
Okay, well, he's from Nuremberg. He's from Nuremberg, and I'm from Nuremberg, so that's why I know him a little bit.
Okay. The Nuremberg connections.
I tell you.
Yes, he was. But it was a fantastic. It's a fantastic entertainer, I think. Klaus Kornfield is unbelievable, and I tried to stay in contact again with him, or I tried to get in contact again with him, and I sent him an email, and he sent one email back, and he told me I should phone him, but I had not the time because I finished my studies, my exam. I passed my exam 2 weeks ago now or so.
What are you now? What are you now? What kind of exam?
Now I can start with the second part of my teacher.
You're a teacher?
Teacher studies, teacher training. Yes, this is the first. This was the first part of my studies. I'm becoming a teacher for. I hopefully become a teacher for English, even if it doesn't sound like this at the moment, and music. For I think it's called comprehensive school or something like this. It's from the grade 5 to 10.
Yeah, your dream come true for your students. An ex-punk rocker is becoming my teacher.
I'm not the only one. I think there are more people who decided to. For example, the other guitarist, it's not usual that ex-punk rocker who was doing drugs and anything like this becomes a priest, isn't it?
That's true. That's
true. That's the second.
And he's teaching them the students about religion or something. Don't touch this heavy metal, this evil music.
Oh, yes, yes. And he knows what he's telling, I think.
I know.
And I think it's a good job. It's a good job. One thing is it's a good money you can earn with this job. And the second thing is if you remember your time going to school, wouldn't it have been better to have a teacher which is not so straight, and you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think especially music, especially I think a big dream of mine for the future, I hope, is that I have I can help other kids to build a band.
Nice.
And to play even punk rock or only rock, or I don't know what they want, but to help them to get into music. I think it's a main thing.
Rip, thank you very much.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.